Thanks for joining us for another awesome message from C3 Church Toronto. Our heart is that these podcasts would be a tool that helps you connect to God. If you need more info on our church, check out our website at www.c3toronto.com. Now grab a coffee and prepare your heart for a powerful word from God.
Turn your Bibles to Matthew chapter 2 again. I want to talk to you about the Magi. I want to talk to you about the star. Why you have a star on the top of your Christmas tree. We started a Christmas tree tradition as a family. We didn't always do this, but go, you know, do the whole chopping the tree thing down. And so you go to the tree farm, and I don't know if you have the same experience, but I go there. I mean, there's good, like, hot chocolate. Kids have a little tractor ride, whatever. And I will spot the tree in, like, under 30 seconds. Like, it's like I'll pull up in the parking lot, I'm already looking. Like, I'll be like, but Jess, she's the kind of person that, you know, anyone know one of these kind of people that want to look at every tree on the tree? So we explore the entire hillside. We go into, like, neighboring farms, even private property, to, like, get the perfect Christmas tree, only to come back to the one I selected earlier. Anyone empathize with that? No, nobody? You alive today? It's Christmas Sunday. Let's relax. You good? All right. Little feedback. We like a little feedback in church. It helps me preach more on point. All right. That's what you want. And so why do we put a star on the top of the Christmas tree? And we couldn't put a star on the top of our Christmas tree last year. I don't know what the tree was that we chose. But, like, because so we go there, and I'm the guy. I have, like, it's called a sawzall. Anyone know what that is? Anyone, come on, you got to talk to me, church. Jojo, we got to work on the amen culture here. All right. So when I say something good or funny, which is rare, okay, let me rephrase that. When I say something, anything, there, that's better. All right, well, this is a two-way street. And so so I'm the kind, like, so there's the traditional people with, like, you know, have the bow saws, and, you know, that's good. It's very, very hipster. I'm, like, efficient. So, like, and I, every now and then I'll spot, like, another power tool homie on the hill, and it's like we have a brotherhood. It's like, yeah, right, okay, cool, yeah, I get you. Yeah, yeah, amen. So, anyway, so went chainsaw shopping with Kenzie this year. I don't know if that's allowed, but we have a photo of Kenzie going chainsaw shopping. Do we have that? There it is. This is my daughter. How good is that? She made it onto the Instagram account of the... so she's got a little stuffy, she's got a pink ballerina outfit, and a chainsaw. And it actually works. It's like, you go, it has, like, the zing, like, you can pull the thing, and it's cute. So we got that. She got that for free. So she's my little model. So, you know, if you have any... if you want to sport any products and you need someone to... whatever. Yeah. Where are we going with this? Matthew 2. Anyway, so we got the tree, you got the gloves, you got the jacket and everything, and you're carrying it out. And I didn't realize, but this was the sharpest tree. Has anyone accidentally ever gotten a tree that you can't touch? This one Christmas last year, our kids, we were trying to put decorations on it, and when the little needles fell off, they were literally like, this tree was a death trap. Like, my kids love Christmas and get the little ornaments and would run up to do something and put something on the tree, but then they'd get pierced, like, and turn around with tears in their eyes, as in, like, it was this sadistic thing that daddy was, like, tricking them with the joy of Christmas. So we ended up just throwing the tree in the backyard. Like, anyway, whatever. So we couldn't put the star on the tree. So the point is, what's the star for? That was the whole point of that elaborate story, for me to show you a cute photo of Kenzie and for you to relax. Somebody say amen. All right, so the point of the star is the Magi. This is the story of Christmas from Matthew chapter 2, and it's this whole, it's a signpost. The star is a signpost. So let's read it from Matthew chapter 2 and verse 1. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea during the time of King Herod. Now, King Herod was a nasty king. He was all about himself. He was like, he even killed one of his sons because his son was heir to be king, and he wanted to be king, so he even killed his own son. That's how, like, crazy this dude is. And so it's interesting that in the story of Jesus and the time of Jesus, it's amazing Christian history, and it's amazing biblical history and how this all ties together. And when you really look into it, it blows your mind. Like, the Magi are these Persians. These are astrologers. That's why God used the star, because the people he was going to use were king's advisors. They were king's advisors. They are actually talked about in Daniel, when Daniel was thrown into the lion's den. Anyone remember that dude? And then he was meant to interpret a dream, and these other homies around the king couldn't interpret the dream, because the king at the time, King Nebuchadnezzar, said, I don't want you to just interpret the dream, because I don't want you to like lie to me. I want you to tell me what I dreamed and then interpret that. And the guy's like, we can't do it. And then Daniel shows up, the man of God, the God that didn't compromise, the guy that followed God in an uncompromising way. He tells Nebuchadnezzar what he dreamt, then he interprets it, and King Nebuchadnezzar's like, this dude's legit. So he gets the Magi, these astrologers, these are wise men of the day, and he puts them under the rule of Daniel. So Daniel, these guys were pagans, didn't follow the God of the Jews, but followed the God of themselves. And Daniel converts them. So Daniel teaches these guys. Now this isn't a leadership seminar, but if I wanted to give you a leadership message, Daniel is like the beast of all leaders. Like, he learns the literature and language of the day to influence a people group to follow after God, so much so that four centuries go by with these dudes looking for this star. Because it's written in Jewish tradition, it's written in Genesis, in Numbers, it's prophesied in Zechariah, and Daniel teaches these guys to be godly men. So much that they don't waver from it, they're looking for this star for four centuries. Imagine if your influence... Yeah, I'm looking at you, Kwesi. Imagine your leadership influence still influencing people 400 years from now. You have that potential. He does. Kwesi's amazing. Like, you have that potential, man. I'm just bringing it home for you. That's a good word for you. To have a vision, hundreds of years ahead of you vision. That's a testament to leadership right there. Imagine if you had that kind of influence. You can. You follow after God, you can. And God will use you in his celestial, providential plan, in his story time. And so these Magi were seeking God for such a long period of time, and they were looking for a star. And, okay, so I get so sidetracked on this stuff, because I start looking into it, and I'm like, it blows my marbles. So in verse 2... Magi came from the east, so they could have come as far as China, but they came across from probably Iraq and then traveled over. Am I nerding out too much for North Campus today, or are you guys enjoying this? All right. So they came across, and traveling to get to Jerusalem at that time from the east to travel west would have been like super hardcore. And so these guys are hungry to find their answer, the answer that they've been looking for years and years and years. And where is the one who has been born, in verse 2, the king of the Jews? We saw, you've got to note this, his star. His. Do you know everything is God's? His star. Crazy. When it rose and have come to worship him, when it rose and we've come to worship him. They've been thinking about this and passing it on in generations for 400 to 500 years. Insane. When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, as you would be if you were a self-serving king, and all of Jerusalem with him, because at the time, Jerusalem wasn't God's city. When Herod called the Magi secretly and found out, verse 7, the exact time the star appeared, he sent them to Bethlehem, said, go search carefully for the child. As soon as you find him, report him to me so that I may too go and worship him. Now, we all know that later that Herod tries to take out all the kids under 2 years old. So when they found Jesus, he would have been about a year and a half old. He wasn't like a baby at the time. And that Herod wanted any threat to worshiping him to be taken out. You and I think, man, that's crazy. But the truth is that's the fight in our own hearts. In this day and age, the fight is, who are we going to worship? Are we going to live a life of self, of me? Are we going to worship me, or are we going to worship God? So the same. So it's the Jesus coming into this, because there was pagan kings before Herod, but would even worship pagan gods. But Herod didn't even worship pagan gods. He was all about me. And that's the world we live in today. Is, are we going to live a life about me, or are we going to put God in his rightful place? So after they heard the king, they went on their way, and so they left Jerusalem, and the star, when they had rose ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. Now Jupiter, the planet Jupiter, rises, stops, and falls, and some scholars say that it was actually a planet, that it was actually planet Jupiter, and it was his star. God can use anything. You know, they wouldn't have known that they were looking at planets at the time. It's neither here nor there. Just saying that God can use whatever he wants to point things to Jesus. And everything under God's creation points to Christ. And so the star they had seen when it rose ahead of them until it stopped, verse 10, when they saw the star, they were overjoyed because they're getting closer. It's like cold, 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 warm, 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 warm. It's like they're getting happy. And they saw the child with the mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Great offering message, Jojo. Worshipped him and opened their treasury and presented. This is an empty worship. Worship is sacrificial. These guys aren't just all talk. They're not a modern day Christian in C3 Toronto that don't do anything with their worship before God. Whoop, hello. No, these are people that put their money where their mouth is, or not just sacrifice. True worship is a life laid down before the king. And then in verse 12, with having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, not to go back to the old way, they returned to their country another route. Or another version says, the New King James Version says, they returned home another way. I want to tell you, so the message today is called Seek and You Will Find, that when you find Jesus, you will always return home another way. When you seek Jesus, you will always return home differently. Every single time that you and I have an encounter in the presence of Jesus, you will return different. That's what marks, that's the distinctive of Christianity, is that we don't serve a golden idol or stone idol. We serve a living God, and his presence is real in your life. And every time, even in your own living room, when you come into the presence of God, you will leave different. And I pray today that if you were invited by a family member, maybe it's a tradition for you to go to church on Christmas, or maybe a friend or whatever, that my message here today is that every time if you come to God with an open heart and you seek God, you will find him. He wants to be found. He wants to be found. Number one, seek and you will find. All the signposts are there. Many people don't find God because, in honesty, they don't want to. Because finding God means following God, and following God means change. But I believe in every human being's life, there comes a time in our journey, and I don't know what your journey was, but the Magi had a massive journey. You might be in the middle of a massive journey, going through different circumstances, different belief systems, different thoughts, confusion, disillusionment, whatever. You might have found truth and then realized it wasn't truth, and then if you're on a journey of seeking, I'm telling you that all roads lead to Christ. All creation, the Bible says in Romans chapter 1, verse 19 and 20, since what may be known about God is plain to them, meaning everybody, because God made it plain. God wants to be found. For since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, his eternal power, and his divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made, so that people are without excuse. All of creation. Have you ever had those moments where you're just kind of looking up into the sky and you're just like, man, it's big. I'm small. Wow. In a sense, when you say wow, that's like God honoring or like God or worship. It takes your breath away. Science, you'll go to the depths of a human creation, or you go to the expanses of space, and in the end, you won't find the end because the end is Jesus. It's just at the end of it all is God. And that there are these unique times where a sign will be assigned to you that won't be assigned to someone sitting next to you. And if someone sitting next to you tries to tell you that that was going to happen anyway, well, Jupiter was going to rise and it was going to stop and it was going to fall. Stars do that. You guys are astrologers. This doesn't mean you're finding Jesus. It doesn't mean you're finding the Messiah. You're just the Magi. You just saw another star rise, stop, and fall. Doesn't mean anything. Have you ever had it like a friend? When you know God has spoken to you and it seems elementary to someone else, but to you it was the right point in time, it was the right moment, no one else can... Like, it's confusing to someone else and it seems elementary, but it was really real to you. Because God has this ability to know you. So He will know what you're thinking about at the time, no matter how complex it is, no matter how ungodly you might think it is. You might think that your journey hasn't included God when God's been there the entire time. That's how you think you're seeking God. God's already seeking you. He's the one that knocks on the door, not you. The door handle of the door of your heart is on the inside, so you're the one that has to turn it and let Him in. He doesn't come into your life like a SWAT team. At one point He will, and every knee will bow and every tongue will confess, but right now is not that time. Could be tomorrow, could be next week, could be next month, could be next decade. But right now, you and I have a choice. Are we going to open up our lives to God or not? The signposts are very specific. For me, when I got saved, I was in a Catholic high school, and in January of 2000, and I was thinking, is everything that I knew growing up in a Christian home, is it all just religion and irrelevant? Because I went to this Catholic high school and my friends were influencing me and my friends were saying to me, Sam, why are you a Christian? All this stuff is, you know, I'm not saying anything about the Catholic faith. I'm just saying about where my headspace was at the time of being a 16-year-old. But God knew it. So I went along to this meeting, and at this meeting, this guy, Jürgen Matesius, who now preaches, who's now the pastor of C3 in San Diego, he was preaching a message and he used an illustration about being in a Catholic high school. And his message was about how God doesn't want religion, He wants relationship. Now, to someone else, if I say to you, man, that had providence to it. It was like God was setting up a star so that Sam would respond to Christ. Now, if I said that to you, you're like, well, that was going to happen anyway. He was going to preach that message anyway. It's not a big deal. No, it is a big deal because you don't know what I was going through. You don't know my headspace at the time. And it was a specific sign designed for me. That's why God used stars for astrologers. If they weren't astrologers, He would have used something else. Because everything is His. And for some people, the star will be C3 Toronto. For some people, the star will be your life. How is your life shining so that people will find Christ? How is your life glistening in the hope of Jesus so that when people see you at the top of the world, that they will see it and it will be a signpost. And they're like, man, I needed that. You've seen it with people with their tears running down their face in church. And they come up and they talk and they're like, I don't even know what's happening right now. I don't even know why I'm crying. I do. Because you're meeting Christ. And it's real to God's becoming real to you. And for somebody in this room, maybe this message is the star, the signpost that's going to help you open your heart to Jesus. I pray. That's my prayer. Amen. Amen. Keep seeking. Keep asking. And these Magi did not stop for 100 years until they found. And I applaud you that you haven't stopped. That you're here. You might be going through stuff. You might be going through whatever or questioning. And I've been there too. Seasons of life where you doubt God's existence. But I want to tell you that if you have an open enough heart to seek, you will find. He wants to be found. God is not like the boogeyman. He's like, I'm here. You know, whoop. He's not trying to get away from you. God's like, please, Christmas is about Jesus. Right? Number two, seek God with a pure heart. With a pure heart. This doesn't mean a perfect heart. All right? When I say this, Matthew 5 verse 8 says, "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall seek God." This means like childlike. This means open. It means willing and open, as in not naive, but in everything looking for truth. And it doesn't mean that you have to be some sort of way before you can meet God. You just need to be seeking. And the pure, because God doesn't want worshipers that don't have free will. So you and I have a choice, and we choose God. So we can harden our hearts. So seeking you will find can actually work in the negative direction as well. So I have met people that want to seek truth from the Bible and they find it. I have also met people that want to prove that the Bible is just a made up book and it has no power and no relevance. And guess what they find? A Bible that's a made up book with no power and relevance. Isn't this interesting? I've seen people search science and find God, because they have a genuine heart. I've seen people search science and prove that God doesn't exist. God is not going to make you if you don't want to be made. And God is patient. In 2 Peter chapter 3, you should read the whole thing. It actually describes why God is patient. It's because he doesn't have a will that anyone would not be in relationship with him. But it says this. Most importantly, Peter's talking to the New Testament church. It's like he's talking to Toronto. And he says, "Toronto, please don't take the existence of God out of your lives." It's like that's what 2 Peter chapter 3 is about. It says, "Most importantly, I want to remind you that in the last days, scoffers or mockers or cynics will come mocking the truth and following their own desires." Following their own desires. And I pray that our city does not become a city that eliminates God. I stumbled across an article a couple of years ago about wanting to change the national anthem. You can put up the image of the Canadian flag. Wanting to change the word God, because how can Christians impose a belief system on other people that don't necessarily follow a God? And because we're a very welcoming country, like, we need to change this to we. But there is so much wrong with this. And I'm not afraid to say it. Like, it's his star. Like, God keep our land. It's not even our land. If we're going to change the lyric, it should be God keep your land. We keep our land. I don't even know how to keep my 3-year-old. Like, when this idea that King Herod would, like, that he thought he was king, that he thought he was in control, and modern day gospel says find yourself, forget about everybody else. You will find a version of yourself without God. It will be confused, it will be misappropriated, disillusioned, upside down. You want to find you, you got to find the creator of you. I'm sorry that I came on Christmas Sunday to spit some truth, but I'm here to tell you that you and I are not God. We're not God. You're intelligent. You're amazing. You're beautiful. Get to the core of you, and I'm left in awe and wonder. Not to glorify you, though. It points to God. We can't take the existence of God. Then we take the existence of law. We take the existence of law. We don't know how to live. We don't know how to live. Proverbs 29 verse 18 says this. When people don't accept divine guidance, When they don't accept God, they run wild. But whoever obeys the law, whoever obeys God is joyful. This word joyful, you unpack it, it's amazing. You and I need God. We need to find God. If you're seeking, you need to find God. You can find Him. He's here right now. He's in this room right now. And I know what my calling is. I know what my destiny is. If I preach and preach and preach so that I can be a star, that's me being a star. Not so that I can say, look how good I am. Stars glisten for sure. But like, you need to find the sun. And that lyric about, you know, the flower opening, finds, I don't know, it's a bit weird. It should have, we sang the song earlier, it should have S-O-N there as well. Whatever. But the word joyful means this. But whoever obeys the Lord is joyful. Joyful. Finding fulfillment. It means this. But whoever obeys God is blessed. Whoever obeys God is strengthened. If you try and find strength in the source of self, ultimately you find weakness. But if you find strength in giving your weakness to God, guess what you find? Strength. It means, the word joyful means, but whoever obeys God moves forward, has forward momentum. You want vision for 2020? You find it by seeking God. That's why we're starting the year off with prayer and fasting. It means to level up, breakthrough. You find God, that's where you find your leveling up. You find God, it means this is the right way to live. The right way to live. We got to do everything. We got to do everything. Because there are people like Magi out there in the world seeking. And we have a responsibility, and this is who we are as a church, to help people find God. To help people find the answer. To help people find truth. We have the privilege of stepping into a person's timeline at different times when we come in contact with them and meet them, and then what we do with that, and God entrusting us with people. I don't know who the people are around your life. Chances are they all don't know God. And this is what I would do, and this is what I do, is I picture every person that I'm in contact with that doesn't know God, I picture them like you and I in church with their hands raised high. You know, Bree and Denise and the girls and Jura doing their thing. And these people are worshiping just the same. And sometimes when you first envision those people that don't know God, it's like crazy thought. It's like, man, really? That person on drugs, sleeping around, doing all the thing, and picture them worshiping God down the front at C3. God wants relationship with that person. So bad. I'll get the keys up. So bad. Last point, because God wants to be close. So He wants to be close to us. And when we find Him, when we see Him, we ache to be close to Him. We ache. The Magi never stopped walking until seeing the star wasn't enough. They had to be at the feet of Jesus. Revelation 1 points back to this idea of being close to Jesus, and the idea, and it points back to the Magi, but it's actually pointing back to Zechariah, the prophecy of the star. And it says this: look, he is coming with the clouds, and every eye will see him, even those who pierce him. Even the scoffers will see Jesus. There are people that might point at your life and say you're a weirdo. There are people that live what we would call a normal Toronto life that would look at you serving on team in church and think you're bananas. Think you're old fashioned, think you're not normal, and mock you and scoff you. The Bible says is that these people have a purpose, and they will see God. It happened on the cross. The Roman that pierced the side of Jesus stood back, the leader, and said, wow, surely this is God. I believe what happened in that man's life at that time is he then knelt down, repented, and gave his life to Jesus. That's what I believe happened. The Bible doesn't tell us. And it says this, which is a weird thing, and I'll illustrate it to you. And all peoples on earth will mourn because of Jesus. So your purpose is to mourn for Jesus. And you're like, Sam, this is my first day in church in 10 years. Your purpose is to be... And in Zechariah 12, it says, like the one who mourns for an only child. Here's the illustration. So, Kenzie, we did a house renovation this year. And on the patio balcony that's up two levels high in our house, there was no railing. And Jess and Kenzie and the kids are over, looking around, just seeing progress. And I turn around, and Kenzie is at the edge of this balcony, two levels high, just looking over the edge. No balustrade. I'm 20 feet away. I'm close, but not close enough. And it says like one who mourns for their firstborn. So what do? I turn around, see it, and flip out. She probably thought she was in trouble. I don't know, maybe. So I turn around, I see it, and I go, Kenzie! Get back here! Go out there. I'm 8 feet closer, but I'm not close enough. And this is God. God longs for you. Because without God, we stand at the edge of life, and anything but in the arms of God is dangerous. Us living our own lives, pious, away from Him. I get 5 more feet closer. I'm mourning. I just got it. And in a moment of a few seconds, there was nothing that satisfied until she was in my arms. That's what it means. When you see your Savior, not through the filter of some person, not through the filter of some religion, not through the filter of some church or some thing or whatever, but all signs pointing to Jesus. And then you have a moment in the presence of God where you find yourself in His loving arms, and you find yourself in the arms of Jesus, in the arms of your Creator, in the presence of your Savior. Everything changes. And then from that day on, you just mourn to be there and live from there. And that is the place where you are meant to worship from, where you're meant to exist from. That is the purpose of life, that there will be nothing that separates us from God, that there would be no distance between you and Him, that you would be with God. That's what this is. Prophet, the Magi were not satisfied seeing the star. They needed to be with the sun. So with every head bowed and every eye closed right now, on this Christmas Sunday, if there's distance between you and your Savior, if there's distance between you and God, I don't know what your journey's been, I don't know how far you've been traveling, I don't know what your life has been like, but I want to tell you that if you're seeking, if your heart is open, Jesus wants to be found by you. All signs are pointing to Him. Can you open your heart? Can you receive Him? Maybe for the first time. And in a moment, we're going to pray a prayer. It's a prayer that invites Jesus into your heart. It's a prayer that turns that door handle and invites Him in. And in a moment, I'm going to ask people to lift up their hands in response. And I believe heaven will see those hands. And it's you saying, Sam, I want to be included in that prayer. And if you've never made that decision before, today's the day. This is the most important decision. I would really encourage you to please pray this prayer with us. Or maybe you once walked with God, but you know your life isn't where it needs to be, and you want to recommit your life to Him. On December 22nd, 2019, you're wrapping up your doubt, you're wrapping up your disbelief, you're wrapping up wavering, second-guessing, you're wrapping it all up for being fervently in the arms of Jesus, worshiping Him. And when I say, lift up your hand, you too will respond and say, God, take my life again. I want to recommit my heart to you. Or maybe if you were to die, you'd second guess if there's a place for you in heaven. The Bible says that Jesus is our assurance of salvation, and you shouldn't live a single moment without confidence, knowing that He has a place for you. So if that's you, with every head bowed, respecting each other's privacy, no one walking around, no one moving, in these final moments, if that's you, if you're like, Sam, I want to be included in this prayer. I'm so glad that I'm here today. Might not all make sense to you, but you know that you need to respond. You know that you need to invite Jesus in your heart. If that's you, just raise your hand up nice and high.